You are listening to the Nurturing Birth Doula podcast, where we aim to dispel the myths, debunk the stories, and help people better understand the role of the doula in the 21st century. I am your host, Sophie Brigstock, owner of Nurturing Birth and course facilitator, and I invite you to grab a cuppa, pop on your headphones, and listen in as I chat to doulas, birth keepers, and nurturing birth friends about all things perinatal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Nurturing Birth Doula podcast. I am really thrilled that we have our gorgeous facilitator and mentor, Sarah Sayer, with us today. So without any further ado, I am going to welcome Sarah along and say, come and introduce yourself. Let us know a bit more about who you are.
Thank you, Sophie. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here. It's very exciting. It's my first ever podcast.
So love it.
Very, very excited about this. I'm Sarah. I am a facilitator and mentor, as you just mentioned, for Nurturing Birth. And I started my doula journey with Nurturing Birth back in 2009. So I've been a doula for quite some time. I support births and I do postnatal doulaing as well. I'm also a hypnobirthing instructor with the Calm Birth School. I have two teenage children, which makes life interesting and challenging in equal measures, as you'll appreciate, Sophie. And I live by the sea in Bournemouth, so everything's, every day's a beach day, and I have a daft rescue dog, so often out on the beach drinking coffee and enjoying life down here on the coast.
Sounds so idyllic. Every time you tell me about your beach in Bournemouth, I'm so envious.
Yeah, it is rather lovely. And I do every day count my blessings. I was on the beach about 7:30 this morning, and it's just blue skies, blue sea. And I never take it for granted. I appreciate it every day. So it's lovely.
I love that. So actually, Bournemouth is probably a good place to start, isn't it? Because when you trained as a doula, if my memory serves me, there weren't any doulas in your area at all.
No, there really wasn't, apart from one lady who was advertising as a doula, but wasn't actually actively working at that time because she had her personal circumstances didn't allow it. She was a single parent and didn't have much in the way of support at that time. She is actually a doula now again. Mm-hmm. But yes, for quite a long time, I felt a bit isolated, a bit sort of down here on my own. And things were different back then. So there weren't that many doulas around in general. And there were pockets of the UK where, and the world, I suppose, where it was more popular. So there seemed to be a lot of doulas in London. There seemed to be a lot in Brighton, some more in sort of Bristol and that area. But here, just me for a little while, just me on my own. And it was tough, actually. It was pretty isolating.
And I suppose if you look back on that, there not only did you have to learn how to be a doula, but that taught you a huge amount of really valuable skills about setting up and marketing and running a business.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I did quite some time ago, actually, because I just felt like I needed it was two things I wanted to do. One was to spread the word about doulas so that people, in my local area became sort of familiar with, there were doulas and what we did. But also I felt that one of the things that kind of brought me to this role was a lack of support and that village they talk about so much, around sort of the perinatal period about, it takes a village to raise a child. And I felt, I didn't really have much in the way of a village. Mm. And I wanted to create that sort of feeling for other new people going through that experience. So one of the things I did really early on was just start a coffee morning. And it was literally just that. It was a coffee morning. It was a local shop that actually, it was a tea shop. They sold lovely loose teas, like hundreds of different types of tea. And they had a little room at the back, a little cafe area. And I just said, can I just book this every Monday morning? Or I think it was once a month I did it initially, just to put by a little bit of space. And then I started advertising it as, come along and just meet other people like you, other people who are expecting a baby or have just had a baby. And let's create this little village. And it actually blossomed and grew into a wonderful group. We started, I set up a Facebook page purely to advertise the the times and days it was happening, and then that really took off. But through that, you know, it was a win-win situation because lots of new parents connected and made friendships, and that was so lovely to see that kind of flourish, that side of it. But also within that, I became really well known as, you know, Sarah the doula. Got bookings through it, and you know, started to then network with other people in sort of, you know, the similar sort of services that I was, you know, pregnancy massage people and hypnobirthing instructors and that sort of thing. So it was a really great start to kind of getting my name out there and making connections. So, and easy to do.
And so, I mean, such a valuable experience to share with the doulas who come on our courses, isn't it? To talk about the things that we've tried, the things that worked, the things that didn't work. People kept saying to me, oh, you must advertise in X magazine. And I did that a few times and didn't get a single thing. But something as lovely as a local coffee morning, I mean, brilliant.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Who doesn't love sitting down, having a cuppa, bit of cake and chatting, you know?
I mean, that's
and
what doulas are all about, isn't it? It's tea and cake.
It's doula 101, isn't it? Tea and cake and a chat. It really is. And it's just absolutely, like I said, it's a win-win situation. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, I mean, sometimes I went and I was literally the only person there, Billy No Mates.
Yeah.
And then other times I'd have, you know, 10, 12 people, some of them pregnant, some with newborns in tow. It was just, it was lovely, really lovely. And the group still exists actually on Facebook. But and I keep thinking every so often, I must, you know, just do a little coffee morning again. But I just have the time. I'm too busy with doula work now. So
I was going to say, there must be teenagers now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. What was lovely is that, you know, after a while, people were coming back with second babies or even third babies. And that was really lovely to see. So, and it is so easy to do. And actually, I've noticed, again, in Bournemouth recently, there was this lady was a hypnobirthing teacher. She was sort of starting from scratch, and she could see that there was nothing really going on like this locally. She actually set up a birth worker meeting once a month. So she called it birth worker banter, and she sent out invites to me and other birth workers, massage people and real nappy suppliers and things like that, sling consultants. And yeah, again, same thing, just come along and have a coffee. Didn't cost anything, you know, no, just a bit of her time. And it's so easy to do. And I, again, you know, I've been here a long time as a birth worker, but I met lots of lovely new connections, and it works well for everybody.
Yeah.
Because when I've got a client who's looking for a baby massage class, I can recommend someone I've met in person, I've chatted to, I've, you know, felt that connection with, and vice versa. These people are working with pregnant people. They might say something about a doula. Oh, yeah, I know a doula. I met her and she was lovely. And it's just so easy. So.
And word of mouth is a powerful thing, isn't it? When you're a doula, you know, those connections that you make with other perinatal practitioners, I think is really invaluable. Something we talk about a lot on the courses. So as you know, the theme of this series is what I wish people knew. And I just wonder what came up for you most when I asked that question.
I think, when I heard the question, I think the first thing that came to my mind that I wish people knew about sort of becoming a doula, about doing the doula training, is that it's just so open to everybody. I think too many people have the stories. I know you always talk about, you know, what stories are we telling ourselves? And people are telling themselves stories that, oh, I can't do it because, I can't be a doula because. And let's blow that out of the water. It's absolute rubbish. You can be a doula. Doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter what your personal circumstances are, what your birth experiences are, whether you've had a birth experience, you know, it really doesn't matter. I think the core of being a doula is all about, you know, your passion and your abilities and your skills, and your own personal sort of, you know, circumstances really have no bearing on that. So that, I think, would be my sort of go-to, what I wish people knew. And, you know, I think to give you an example, you know, we can have a course, a nurturing birth course, that can have the widest diverse range of people on it, which is incredible because everyone brings something different. But we can have people on there who've got five children. We can have someone on there who's not had a baby. We can have, someone who had a cesarean birth, or someone who's had three home births, or, it's just, there's no, there's no limit. There's no right or wrong. It's just, whether you are the right person to be a doula.
Yes, absolutely. So I have the privilege of answering lots of the inquiry calls that come in to Nurturing Birth, and often it's the same questions that come up. So the one about having children is really prevalent. And I mean, I know that there are some organisations out there who have this very strong and fervent belief that you should have had children in order to be a doula. I'm not sure why. And in some cases, I mean, a big focus for us on our courses is about supporting people to reflect and debrief their own experiences so they don't bring those to their clients, because the client's journey is going to be different. Every single client is going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
actually, a very significant part of doing any doula course is looking at your own stories and doing the processing work and being supported to do that, with your mentor or, if needs be, with a professional, so that you are, as I say, clear and clean to go out there and work with people. So that's a very, very common one, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Yeah, it really is. And I
Another
think,
one that comes up quite a lot is around qualifications. It's like, and
yes.
people say, oh, I haven't been in a classroom. Not that our courses happen in a classroom as such. They're usually in a very comfortable home where people sit on the sofa and make cups of tea whenever they feel like it and stuff like that. But there's this whole thing of like, oh, I haven't been to school since I was 18, and now I'm 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. Will I know enough? Have I got enough, certificates under my belt in order to be able to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've certainly had people sort of say that to me, that they're worried that they haven't got the right sort of background or qualifications to do the doula course. But actually, yeah, absolutely not. It really has no bearing. And I think sometimes people are worried that they may be on the verge of a real career change. They might be doing so. And often this does happen because people are drawn to this world because they've had a baby recently. Not always, but that can be, quite often a precursor for them thinking, hold on a minute, I need a change of direction. So it can be a bit of a worry that I've certainly had someone on a course in the last few months who felt a bit, I think, a bit of an imposter because they had come from a very corporate background. And they weren't sure that they really belonged there, but we were able to soon sort that out and say, well, absolutely not. It's got no bearing on it whatsoever. I think if you're drawn to this work and you have that passion for being a doula, it really does not matter what your background is, what your study record is, whether you're going to be great at, writing essays or doing projects or any of that. It's absolutely by the by. It's completely irrelevant.
Is there anything that you feel is a barrier to someone becoming a doula?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a good question. I think what you sort of already touched on about people having perhaps their own, or let's just think of it, for want of a better word, baggage, I suppose. Often people do have a real story and they do have stuff in their suitcase that perhaps would impede them to keeping an open mind, or approaching clients without any sort of, I don't know what the word is, sort of bias or, opinions about how things should be done and what have you. So I think, like you sort of commented on earlier, we try and get people to really sort of unpick and really think about their own experiences before, before they even embark on the course, actually. That becomes, part of the pre-course sort of module. And I think, if that's bringing up a lot of stuff that perhaps hasn't been dealt with, or even addressed in any way, that might be a little bit of a barrier. But again, that was something that we would support people through, kind of, you know, working through and, you know, help them to, you know, find, you know, it might be that, you know, having a mentoring session, for example, with Nurturing Birth may be enough. It may be that they need to talk to someone professionally.
Yeah.
It may be that that kind of needs to be worked through before they can kind of get to where they need to be with their own sort of doula journey. But I can't really think of anything particularly, you know, apart from that, that could be a barrier, really. I think, you know,
I definitely think if someone's got a lot of stuff that they still need to work through, if there's a lot of trauma or, you know, that is, it's not going to prevent them from becoming a doula, but perhaps the priority is doing that personal work first.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing that was kind of coming to mind as you were talking about it was, if somebody has a very fixed notion around how things should be done.
Yes.
And I mean, I remember hearing a story, now whether this is true or not, I don't know, but I remember hearing a story of a doula who would go and see her clients antenatally with a video of her own birth and tell people how, you know, a formula. If you do X, Y, and Z, you will have this kind of birth. And that always raised massive alarm bells for me, because we are not inhabiting the same bodies. We don't have the same experiences, background, histories, families, you name it. We can never predict what somebody's birth is going to be like. So to go in with a very fixed notion of what birth should look like and how to get there, I think is frankly quite dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You absolutely hit the nail on the head there. It really is. And this is something that we talk about certainly on the courses, about how, you know, how do we approach and how do we deal with things that perhaps, you know, choices that perhaps we wouldn't make. No, if it was our own personal journey, things that we wouldn't do. That's not for us to say, though, is it? You know, the crux of the role of the doula is to just walk alongside our clients and respect the choices that they make and support them, whatever those choices are. And of course, you know, we can help them find information and we can help them make informed choices. But, you know, for example, you know, you may have clients, and I've certainly have over the years had clients where I've thought to myself, oh gosh, you know, they'd be just absolutely, you know, so at home, just staying in, you know, in their own home and having a home birth. They probably, you know, have a really wonderful birth experience. And then we've talked about home birth and they have decided that, no, they feel, you know, they want to be in hospital. And, you know, there could be a bit of me that's like, well, no, why, don't do that? Oh gosh, you know, but actually only they know how they feel. Only that person who's giving birth knows where they're going to feel safest, where they're going to feel the most supported. And for lots of people, being in hospital is going to make them feel safe. It is going to help them get into the sort of zone and get the oxytocin flowing, because they would feel, you know, they would not feel so comfortable in their own home. They would be worried. They would be, you know, some adrenaline and anxiety there. So, you know, it's so important for us to keep that open-mindedness. It's definitely something that we are very aware of, and we'll certainly work through, you know, when people come and, you know, go through the nurturing birth process with us.
Yeah. One of the things, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, some of the more challenging experiences that we might have as doulas, you know, where clients have made a decision, or, you know, have chosen an option, and then perhaps that doesn't happen, or, you know, matters are taken out of our hands, or, you know, you end up with, you know, going down a cascade of intervention route or something like that, and how you as a doula handle that. Because, you know, we can all wish for the, you know, the glorious, the ideal image that perhaps we, you know, would see in a crystal ball or something. But, you know, how do you deal with the more challenging situations?
That's a great question. And of course, you know, in a perfect world, every birth would be, lovely flowers and roses and candles and straightforward and, smooth. And of course, that's not the reality of life, and that's certainly not the reality of birth. Birth takes lots of very bizarre twists and turns, and it can also turn out very differently to how your clients have anticipated. So, the things to take into consideration there are, at the end of the day, we are there to support our clients. So whatever happens, we sort of walk alongside them, like I've already mentioned. I think one of the things that I learned very early on, and it's a very important lesson, and again, something we talk about on the course, is we are not there to save our clients. And it can sometimes feel very difficult and quite conflicting when something perhaps happens that, is quite difficult, a difficult situation, perhaps a home birth which has ended up in a transfer in and then possibly a cesarean. And I certainly early on in my doula life came away from birth thinking, oh my gosh, this is, they're going to feel so let down by me. They're going to feel so, sad about what happened. And I just went home feeling quite heavy-hearted. And then when I, saw them, however many days later, what have you, and got back in touch and went and saw them again, they were over the moon and really pleased with their birth. And I very quickly realized that actually what the difference was that I was making was that I was supporting them. I was helping them to be heard. I was helping them make informed choices. When they had decisions to make, I was there with them, able to talk it through with them, able to sort of, rationalize it in the moment, because, tensions can be high and emotions are all over the place. And they just felt that they'd been listened to and they'd been supported and that, they were respected. And actually didn't matter that that home birth had ended up in theatre, they were over the moon. So, and this is something, again, as I've kind of come to the role of facilitating, and as nurturing birth has just continued to go from sort of strength to strength, and the content of the courses is so amazing. We cover all these things. The doulas that come through nurturing birth are really talking about scenarios like that, and working through how they can manage their own expectations and their own emotions, and then how they can support their clients. So, the nurturing birth doulas know that they don't have to go out there with a superhero cape on. That's not our role.
I think lots of us have have this innate, this inbuilt desire to fix things, to make things better, to, there's a sort of, is it savior complex? I don't know why that's come into my brain, but it sort of feels like we feel like we should rescue, we should salvage a situation. And actually, we're human beings, we don't have control. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It is just about being present with our clients and supporting them, whatever is coming up. I know that I used to, not so much now, but I used to weigh that cloak of responsibility really heavily. I used to tell myself that if clients had booked me, I was responsible for how their birth went. Like,
yes,
what a weight to carry, and I have no way of controlling what's going on in someone's body. Yes, I can do a huge amount of work with somebody antenatally to help them prepare and think about what a really positive experience might look or feel like for them, but I don't have control over the baby, the birth, the whatever's happening.
Yes, so, absolutely, absolutely. And
beginning to recognize that and to really consider, what are we making it mean? Like, as doulas, what are we making our role mean? Do we feel, I think so many new doulas feel like they've got to be seen to be doing, like, during a birth, like as if they're fixing it in some way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a big worry for lots of people sort of coming to doulaing. Will I know enough?
Yes,
will I know enough is a big question, because we feel like we should know everything. We feel like, or certainly I don't actually, because, I'm very comfortable in my role, but I think new doulas, that can be a real worry for them. Will I be expected to know everything? Will I have enough information? And I think that, again, comes back down to right at the very sort of base level of everything is being very clear about what the role of a doula is. and being very clear about what your boundaries are as a doula. So again, on the course, this is something that we really talk about a lot. Being very clear. And you always say, Sophie, hold on, what's the thing you say? Communication is kind, or something
clear,
like that.
Clear is kind.
Clear is kind.
It's a Brené Brown expression. Okay. Clear is kind.
So this is where the antenatal preparation really comes into its own, because that's the time where all the gold happens. You know, that's the time when you are talking to your clients, you know, and then they understand what your role is. They understand, you know, if they need to know the ins and outs of a NAT's backside, it's not our job to teach them. It's our job to help them find the information that they need. So we rely on all the trusted resources that we collate as doulas, you know, and that's very important to us. And we have the most fantastic manual that all our doulas go away with, so they can find lots of links, they can find lots of places to go for information. But they are not expected as nurturing birth doulas to reel off you know, studies and statistics and anything like that.
The power is knowing where to go to find it, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're not obstetricians, we're not midwives, we don't need to have a deep knowledge of obstetrics. Knowing where to find evidence-based information, that is a real skill. And signposting is one, for me, one of the four pillars of doulaing that we talk about a lot. And we really challenge our doulas to think about. And, you know, I still hear, you know, we run our virtual cuppas every week at Nurturing Birth for those who've taken courses with us. And it's a free hour-long opportunity for people to come and share and ask questions and celebrate things. And, you know, it's just glorious. And I have recently had some newer doulas on there who, even though they've done their course, are still kind of hesitant about putting themselves out there because they're still saying, oh, I still don't know enough. And every time I come back to the question of, what do you need to know? What do you actually need to know as a doula? Because doulaing isn't about knowledge. And I know, when I think back, I got really challenged actually by one of the doulas on the team about, because I hold statistics in my head quite easily.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do. And I, you know, on courses, I will share things like that because I find them really interesting. But one of the things that got reflected back to me by this experienced doula was like, you know, why do you feel like you need all that knowledge? Why do you feel when you're teaching that you need to share it all? And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Maybe that's part of me like feeling good enough, you know, exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You're just saying good enough as a facilitator. But actually, you know, let's drop all of that stuff and just think about inherently what a doula is someone who is able to be with people, to be present, to hold space, to listen. Listening is such a massively underrated skill, and so few people do it well.
Yes. Yes, I think it is. Well, as you know, it's one of my favorite topics in the course.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about that a lot, and it has different names, you know, active listening, intelligent listening, but call it what you will. Actually, the skill of listening is something you don't actually see very often, really.
No.
And once you become aware of it, you can really see it in your conversations with other people, with your interactions with your family, your friends. And it's something I really like talking about. And it's something I really like seeing people kind of get their teeth into on the course.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really important skill and something that we really help our doulas become aware of and get, you know, quite polished on, because it is a game changer. Because at the very sort of base of everything, what people want from a doula is to be heard, to be listened to, and to be held, you know, to have their space held. And I think, you know, what you were saying about all the sort of facts and figures and statistics and all the other stuff, I think that's become that's a sign of the times.
Yeah.
You know, if we go back in time to, I don't know, 20 years ago, for example, when doulas were, you know, sort of starting to pop up here in England, in the UK, we didn't have all that information back then, really. It was a different time. I mean, I'm going to sound like, you know, some old ancient woman, but
dinosaur.
But we didn't have, you know, all the Instagram pages where people are sharing all this constant studies and, you know, infographics and all those things. We just had the basic skills of doulering. So when I very first started as a doula, I literally just rocked up to births. I didn't do anything else. I didn't, you know, I wasn't even hypnobirthing or anything like that then. I was literally just going along to births. And I was, you know, going along to all the antenatal preparation sessions. They weren't even really antenatal preparation sessions. They were just me getting to know these people, getting to, you know, find out how they tick, find out what, you know, works for them, how they're going to, you know, want to be looked after and sort of supported during their births. And, you know, it was almost easier back then. We didn't really need to know anything, and we still don't. And I think that's the thing. We've got to strip back all this other stuff and just be there, you
We
know. And you,
overcomplicate.
we really do. We really do.
So supporting people to as you say, strip it back to just come back to the essence of what doulering really is. And in this, I think in this world where things are, it's so busy and so fast paced and social media and all the things, to actually have somebody who is able to be present and listen and hold space and signpost is just, it's incredible. And I think, without wanting to get too political, we all know that the NHS and maternity services especially are on their knees. So there is such a need for that kind of support. Families, I think they're desperate for it actually.
Yeah, I think they are. I really think they are. And you know, and it is that is really where we come into our own, is just having that space and time and ability to just be there for our clients. We don't have anything else, you know, pulling us in a million different directions. Like you say, the maternity system is on its knees. So people are not getting the support that they desire and, you know, deserve from their midwifery team. And that is no, you know, it's no reflection on the midwives themselves. It's purely a reflection on the broken system. And you know, for me, when I work with birth clients, I'm often doing very little at a birth, but you know, just holding that space. And quite often it's just the simplest things that I do, literally give, you know, a birth partner a thumbs up across the room just to say, yeah, this is normal, this is okay, you're okay. These noises that your partner's making that you've never heard before, and you know, the funny positions that they're getting themselves into, this is all normal. But the midwives, bless them, you know, they do a fabulous job. They just do not have the capacity to sit and spend the time,
No.
you know, just being, which is what, you know,
And
we get to do.
I love being able to go and get a midwife a cup of tea or something like that. Just something, 'cause you just know that they haven't got the time to do that for themselves. We should think about wrapping up, but I'm just wondering if there is any last piece of wisdom or anything that you want to share with people before we close.
What I wish people knew. What, oh, I mean, so many things. There are a couple of things. One of the things I want to come back to is something you touched on earlier, is about how the actual in-person courses, what they kind of look like. Because one of the things that I've noticed, having facilitated, you know, quite a few in-person courses now, is on the first day when everyone arrives, they all say the same thing, and that is, "Oh, I didn't know it was going to be in such a lovely environment." I think people do not, you know, necessarily know what to expect. And when they turn up, and it's either at your lovely home, Sophie, or in another sort of, you know, another lovely home that we've managed to find somewhere else in the country, it is a home from home environment. We want everyone to come together to kick off their shoes, pop their slippers on if they want to, bring their food to stick in the fridge, you know, bring up their favorite blanket and just settle in and be doulaed, you know,
I
while
was
they're
gonna
on.
say, we do them,
When they're on the courses, you know, we'll often start with a grounding exercise, and we'll have a nice candle lit, and we just want to create a wonderful, calm, safe environment for people to just explore this wonderful role in comfort, feeling, you know, absolutely brilliant. So that's one of the things I wanted to say.
and tying in with that. One of my favorite things on any doula course is the check-in, We do a check-in every single morning and sometimes after lunch as well. Real just kind of a temperature check to see where everyone's at, how they're feeling. And I love the first check-in on the second day because, I mean, invariably as you go round, people are sharing that I can't believe it's like this. And what they're beginning to say is, I cannot believe how connected I feel to this group of people. I cannot believe how much we've opened up, shared, been vulnerable, supported each other already, and we've known each other 24 hours. And you know, when they leave at the end of their course, be that 4 days on an intensive or after the three gatherings, you know, on an expansive course, those bonds, I mean, I know loads and loads and loads of our doula course groups are still absolutely thick as thieves supporting each other. And that is just so special. It's really valuable, isn't it?
It warms your cockles, doesn't it?
I
It really does. It really
don't
does.
know where my cockles are, but I think it does warm them.
They're definitely warm. Your cockles are definitely warm too. But yeah, you're so right. And I think that's the very first kind of, something we talk about on the course a lot is networking and, getting your tribe around you. And that is your very first little group of doulas. And I've seen that firsthand, how wonderful that connection is and how supportive they are of each other. And it's just such a lovely sort of starting place, as you're sort of dipping your toe into the world of doulaing, when you've already got those other people who are going through the same things as you. They are, in the same boat. They're also thinking about setting up their doula business and putting themselves out there. So you've got a lot of the same sort of fears and worries, and you can share your wins together. And I love that. So I'm still in contact with a couple of people that were on the course that I did back in 2009. So
Me too. Me too.
it's really important. And then the ongoing support that you get from Nurturing Birth as your Nurturing Birth family, as when you've finished with your course, it's not, we don't wave anyone off into the distance saying, yeah, thanks, see you later. You've got the ongoing support of the CUPPA and the Facebook group and, the mentoring as well. Let's not forget the mentoring, how important that is as well. So there's always someone at Nurturing Birth who's got your back. And that's so important. So important.
Anyone would think you were part of the team. The
Well,
way you talk about it with such passion and enthusiasm.
I was saying to you before we came on here, I feel like I live and breathe Nurturing Birth,
Which I just love.
so do I. I do. I feel like it's a family. I do talk about my Nurturing Birth family, but
So
I feel
many
like that.
people do, which I mean, I love. I'm so honored that people say that.
It's so special. It is, we're not just churning out doulas, it's not a production line. That's not what
No.
we're about. We don't
No.
want to just take your money and, turn you through the system and kick you out the other end. We want you to enjoy the experience, but then also, we want you to be successful. We want you to, we want you to, it's too easy as a doula, and I've seen this firsthand, it's too easy to burn out. And that comes from poor self-care and not having support around you and not having anywhere to debrief the things that you may have experienced or the difficult circumstances that you've had to navigate. So that's why the Nurturing Birth family and the mentoring and all those things are so important, because that means that you keep coming back for more. You are a successful doula who then, is able to maintain a healthy working practice. So, I'm all for that.
Oh, well, I couldn't say it better myself. Sarah, it's been an absolute joy chatting to you. How do people find out more about you or connect with you?
Oh, well, I love it when people connect with me. I try to be visible on Instagram. So I am Sarah Sayer. I always have to check. I think I'm Sarah Sayer Birth Geek. Is that
You are
right? Isn't that
indeed.
all? Sarah Sayer Birth Geek. Yep. I do try and get to the Nurturing Birth CUPPA as well as often as I can. So I try to connect with the Nurturing Birth doulas there. But if you're not yet a Nurturing Birth doula and you're interested, I am always happy to chat to people, as are you, Sophie, which is lovely. So yeah, come and find me on Sarah Sayer Birth Geek, and I can't wait to welcome some new people on the courses.
Amazing. It's gorgeous as always talking to you. Thank you so much, Sarah. I will
Thank
see you
you.
soon. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Nurturing Birth Doula podcast. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you've got any questions or any feedback, don't hesitate to come back to us. It's info@nurturingbirth.co.uk. And do follow us on social media at nurturing_birth on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find us on Facebook as well. Please do give us a review if you've enjoyed this episode. We are on Spotify, we're on Apple, and we would love to hear your thoughts about any future episodes you'd like to hear. So do get in touch. Thanks for listening. Bye.